Individually and as a collective, our divine responsibility is to intentionally evolve, to untether from the limitation of lack, fear, and separation, and elevate into the unlimited truth of abundance, love, and oneness. As we release outdated paradigms and conditioning, we can embrace new paradigms that allow for unconditional joy and unprecedented success. The School of Becoming podcast is for women who are devoted to the evolution of their identity at every level. Women who are committed to actualizing their legacy through the embodiment of their highest selves. You deserve a new school for the most important work of your life. The change has to be each one of us. I am her, as you are me, and we are all one. Welcome to the School of Becoming podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. Hello, beauties. Welcome back. I'm super pumped because I have a luscious, stunning, sexy, wise, grounded, fabulous woman with me today, the beautiful Heather Chauvin. Welcome, Heather. Welcome, welcome.
I'm so That's the intro when you put sexy before my name. That's when you know.
I am a truth teller, am I not? beautiful, beautiful souls that are listening. You can read the depth and breadth of Heather's bio in the show notes. I'm not wasting any minute on things that you can find on your own. Let's get down and dirty. And before we go into, like, really, we were having a luscious conversation that started in the quote green room before I hit record, which was all around emotion and motherhood and aging children and leadership. But before we go into that, I need to ask you this question. What were you like when you were 6 years old?
I used to take rocks. I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, I had her home with my grandmother, grandfather. I used to take rocks and I would clean them up and then I would resell them to the neighbors, or I would sell them to the neighbors. And I've thought about that a lot, actually, because it reminded me of, like, the work I do now and how I'm always, like, cleaning and polishing and returning people home, or helping, guiding people to return home to themselves, and showing the beauty to people of, like, everyday things. But yeah, I was very, my mother said I was not an easy child to parent because I could not be controlled.
Okay. I love all of this. And this moment is exactly why I love to ask this question. Being able to clearly see the parts of our little girls in the early stages that inevitably make their way to show up in how we contribute to the world right today. And obviously you always had an entrepreneurial spirit going on because you were reselling dirty rocks into clean rocks. Like, that's really smart and resourceful. Yeah. And I love that you couldn't be controlled. I mean, I resonate with that. And I know a lot of the women that are hanging out with us right now do. And it makes me think of my daughter, Taylor, who's 21. And I just told her recently, I'm like, you know, I have spent my entire motherhood with you, chasing you, trying to parent you. Like, just like, let me parent, right? But I find that to be a superpower, right? A kid that is not controllable, that has, there's a Yiddish word called chutzpah, which is like balls and power, right? Mm-hmm. Because we know the type of woman that creates, right? And the type of leader and the type of power that creates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have three boys. They are 20, how old are they now? 20, 15, and 12. And my oldest is like that. Like, he feels like the male version of me. And as a parent, the more you try to control, the more difficult it gets. But the reason why we control is because we feel out of control internally. That's my perspective anyways. We feel out of control emotionally. So then we try to control other people's emotion. But you're now making me think about my six-year-old self. And I also remember this photo that I had of, like, I was in, like, grade one or something, and I am wearing the most hideous Halloween costume, like, ridiculous clown mask, like, embarrassing outfit, like, you know, those jogger matching jogging suits.
Yes.
And that is like, you know, sometimes I like to do that now where I'm like, it's not to be seen, it's to be different. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to follow the rules. I'm going to be a little bit of a rebel. You're going to make fun of me and I'm going to make fun of myself and I'm not going to give a shit. Although I do give a shit in other areas. But when I look back at that version of me, I always thought, why don't I fit in with everybody? Why don't I want to be the quote unquote pretty girl? Why do I have to be a little bit of a tomboy? Why do I have to always be different or rebel against things? And I'm very much like that.
Yeah, I love that. And if there's a world where you can find that photo for all of us and share it on the interwebs, I think everyone would be better for it.
I'll tag you.
Please do. And I think that's also something else, just something you're saying is bringing to light, but that's the point. We were never supposed to want to try to fit in, right? There was the whole morphing and the notion of that is one of the many things that puts women into emotional congestion, right? Mm-hmm. That puts women into disconnecting from themselves, leaving themselves, because in this notion that we were supposed to fit in or try to fit in, it's like the beginning of the journey of self-abandonment and self-betrayal.
Yeah.
Which I know, and I say it like that because it's time for every woman in the world to come into worlds like mine and yours and let go of that self-abandonment and self-betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because to me, that's the root cause of everything else that you then serve women with.
Yes. And I don't even think a lot of people are like aware what self-abandonment is and where that, like, yes, we can go back to like where it comes from, why we do that. But I wasn't even aware that I was self-abandoning because I identify as quote unquote a rebel, someone who can't be controlled. So like I swung to the other side and I might be able to, like, there's these four types of energy that I talk about: mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. I might be able to write down my dream list. And I might say, I actually know what I want, right? A lot of people say they don't know what they want, or they're like, I don't know. That's a big, scary word. And I'm like, I know what my desires are. I have no issue taking action towards those desires. Mentally, 100%, I could self-abandon myself and tell myself certain stories. Physically, 1000%. I can self-abandon and put everybody on my calendar before myself. But I think culturally we tell ourselves like, dream bigger. Oh, if I do that, I'm taking away from my family. I'm doing from, you know, taking away from other people. And I'm like, that is the most selfish thing of all. Self-abandonment is selfish. And when you've been taught that that is like your identity and, you know, that is the first checkbox of entry when it's, you know, when you're coming into this world of womanhood or motherhood or whatever it is, of like self-abandonment equals success, you've already lost the game. But what I started doing, this was like years and years ago, was questioning. And I don't know about you, Tracy, but the world does not like questioners. The world does not like people with critical thinking skills, especially in the female gender, when you start saying, well, that doesn't work for me. Even tiny, tiny things like, I don't want to cook. I don't want to do the laundry. Does that mean I'm a bad woman or a bad mother? I have to sit with those stories to this day to be like, it's okay to want to outsource that. It's okay to say, I don't want to be good at that, or it does not bring me joy. It's just fascinating to watch and observe how we've been taught and bred to become a certain woman. And that's not where our power lies.
The conditioning and the programming that every woman has, especially right now, beautiful women, as you are listening to us, you're not under 20 and you're not over 70. Okay. So you're somewhere in that beautiful range. And you were taught self-betrayal and self-abandonment by virtue of the fact that that's how our great-great-grandmothers and our great-grandmothers and our grandmothers and our mothers operated, because the drip process is how we become who we are partially, right? So that's what was modeled right? Even if we Googled right now the 1950s Good Housekeeping ad that gets circulated around that literally teaches what a woman should be and how a woman should be, mm-hmm. Everything is underpinned with self-abandonment, right? Basically, as I see it and define it as, my needs are tertiary at best to anything and anyone that is around me. My mm-hmm. needs do not matter. And I am here for the care and the support of everything and everyone around me above all else.
Yeah.
Right? So I love when you say, yes, it's rebellious and the world doesn't like it. Yeah, that's what makes me jazzed about both of our work in the world, because you and I focus on emotional discomfort. We focus on emotional processing. We focus on, if success is only measured by the revenue in your business, that is not in fact success. That's still self-abandonment, right? Because you have all of these holistic parts of you. So talk to me about, because I know lately you've been talking a lot about the concept of emotional grit. And I'm curious to hear how you define that.
You know what's interesting? You were talking about money, and I've had these conversations with so many people that will say, like, my bank account looks really good. My life looks really good on paper. And, you know, I got the Botox, I got the makeup, I got the car, I got the hair, I got the clothing, and I feel like I'm dying inside. And it wasn't until, you know, I don't talk a lot about my cancer diagnosis because I don't identify as a cancer survivor, or even not that I don't remember that part of my life. It's just not an energy that I focus a lot on, because I'm like, how good can life get? How good can I feel? But in 2013, when I was diagnosed, you know, I had 9 years of personal development under my belt. And there was this one moment where number one, I checked the suffering box. Like, I checked the box of like, something got me here. Like, there was something that happened mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually that got me here. And it wasn't that I had complete control over disease, because I don't like putting that onus and shame on everyone. Like, life does happen and we don't have control over everything. But my body was speaking to me for a very, very long time, and I did not understand that language. So once I understood the language of pain and symptoms, that I have a very difficult time understanding, like, we can do hard things, because I think we are conditioned for hard. I think we are conditioned for suffering, and we take it too far. So emotional grit kind of came in where I'm like, I don't want to go all the way to this masculine, like, push, 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 hard, 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 more pain, more gain. And I also cannot swing to the other side completely, where I'm meditating all day and I am, you know, just frolicking in the flowers. I'm like, there has to be this like middle ground, this middle ground where I can feel, I can have a vision for the life I want. I can get super crystal clear on how I want to feel in that life. But I understand I'm not going to feel free all the time. I can understand I'm not going to feel abundant and alive and energized all the time. So I had to figure out how to marry the physical energy, the physical energy, the actions that I needed to take with this determination. That's the grit, this determination to feel alive. And when I was diagnosed, you know, my biggest fear was dying. And I remember mentally and my physical body having a reaction, like fear setting in and going, you're going to die, you're going to die. And I asked myself, how do I want to feel? I want to feel alive. And my fear, Tracy, in that moment was I had no idea how to feel alive. And then that became my journey, aliveness. And I was like, aliveness. Okay. Is this in this room? Is it in this room? Okay. Is this expansive? Is this not? And that is my now North Star. So this emotional grit, I've been teaching my energetic time management framework, like, you know, buy back your time and energy, for over a decade. And I'm like, here you go. You wanted the strategy. You wanted the step-by-step. Here is the physical step-by-step.
but you can literally swipe your credit card, but there's one thing you cannot buy. I cannot give you your determination to succeed. I cannot give you grit. Grit, determination, perseverance, that's on you. That is something that you will have to dig for. That is something that you will have to like open the door to. You will have to be radically honest that when my back is against a corner, am I going to run towards it and rise, or am I going to shrink and hide? And it's okay to have moments of shrink. But you have to say, what is the life I want to be living? And that is emotional grit, that you do have to push yourself to do the things you don't want to do, but you can do them in alignment with how you want to feel for the sake of the future version of yourself. And you do not always need to wait for a crisis or just sit and wait to get the layoff or, you know, for something to smack you in the face. You can put yourself in emotionally uncomfortable positions to push you to the next level, to know, wow, you've succeeded that goal. Now you're getting comfortable. Maybe you need to take a risk. Maybe you need to reinvest. Maybe you need to put yourself in an invisible corner in the wall so that you know, because you're a smart ass woman with your critical thinking skills, that if you don't chip away and still climb that mountain, you will slowly, slowly, slowly fall back down. So that's kind of the next evolution of like, you're successful. Now what? Right? Like, it's not just a one day arrival. Okay, keep going, keep going, keep going. You don't just decide to eat for a week or a day and then go, I'm never going to eat again. Like, this is a life. This is an acceptance that it takes energy and effort to thrive on a daily basis.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So much in what you just said. And I know that it landed because it was very clean, everything you just said. So many things. Number one, it's going to happen by catalyst or choice. So why not be in your power and do it by choice, right? Because you're saying you want all these things, whether they're internal or external, and you are the root cause of the effect. And when you are not in that choice, you are not in your power, which means you are in an abdication of power. And because I love you, listener, that is victimhood.
Yeah.
We can dress it up. We can fake the funk. But it is very, very clear when you are willing to get emotionally uncomfortable, which is the only way, by the way. Part of the journey is about how good can you get at being comfortable in the discomfort, mm-hmm. and not aborting or buffering or abandoning ship as soon as you're in that moment of discomfort, right? Because your system's already working to get you out of it because it doesn't want you to experience pain. And then you double down on it and you haven't actually sat in the uncomfortability long enough to get to the other side where the result, the next level, the new emotional experience exists, right? Mm-hmm. The other thing that's coming through that I wanna talk about because it's so important, aliveness. Aliveness. I know that you and I know that the feeling comes first and the feeling comes from us, right? That's what actual internal infrastructure is. Mm-hmm. You're not waiting on something outside of you to happen or not happen. It actually doesn't matter what's happening outside of you because your inner environment is where everything starts and stops. Yeah. When you say aliveness, my body feels it, I see it, I sense it. Many women listening are like, fuck yes. For the women that are like, yeah, but, because I'm curious to know your perspective on, what do you think interferes with more women realizing how essential it is to prioritize their aliveness? Why aren't more women going, fuck yeah, scratch everything else, let all of the strategy and the external measures become secondary, and let's triple down on aliveness? What's going on there? What's stopping more women from bellying up to that bar?
I think they're afraid of abandonment. They're okay to abandon themselves, but it's the fear. And at the end of the day, everything is dressed up into a word, a phrase, a marketable term like imposter syndrome. But when you come face to face with that part of yourself and you're like, the only way out is through, you are absolutely terrified of something. It may be alone, and it may be, you know, people say fear of success, fear of failure, but you are meeting the part of yourself that you don't yet trust. And there's a process I take people through, and I'm always like, okay, write your list down. Like, wouldn't it be nice if, give me your list. It could be physical things. It could be like, wouldn't it be nice if the sun is shining? Like, just write it all out. Like, what's your soul craving? Like, what do you want? Glass of water? Wouldn't it, like, tell me the small things, the big things. And then I go, what's the feeling you're after? Like, line by line, what's the feeling? What's the feeling? And they always skirt around it. They'll be like, oh, productive, accomplished. And I'm like, okay, what's the feeling of being productive? What's the feeling of being accomplished? And then I'll be like, do you want to be proud? And tears start to well up. And I'm like, what is that? And they're like, yeah, I don't know if I'm proud of myself. I don't know if I've ever shown up for myself the way that I show up for everybody else in the world. And we see that, right? I can immediately tell the way a woman shows up for other people. I'm like, you so badly want somebody to show up for you like that. Like, when I will show up for people, I will be that rally person. I'm that coach that's like, you're in the hole. I will hold you, but I will not hold your shit. You have to carry your own shit. But I will hold you. And when you are like, I can't do this, like, I will midwife you through that. But you need to push when you feel contractions. I can't do the pushing for you. And at the end of that journey, you know, she's so proud of herself for what she just went through. But the whole time, you know, they're looking at you going, can't you do this for me? Like, why don't you do this for me? And I'm like, I can't do this for you. And I remember I've had a few scenarios in my life where the only way out was through, and I was angry. I was frustrated. I was like projecting, like vomiting my emotions on everybody. Like, why can't my kids listen to me? Why can't my husband make more money? Why do I have to work? When I was really transitioning in the entrepreneurial world, I was angry. And then I realized, oh shit, I'm expecting somebody to come save me mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually.
If you've ever wondered why you hesitate, shrink, why you second guess yourself, or why you feel unclear, it's fear. It's always fear. Yes, even when it doesn't feel like it. The Choice Method is the proven solution that dissolves fear instantly, so you can move, decide, and lead from truth. If you want to experience immediate clarity, go learn the Choice Method. The link is in the show notes, or you could head straight over to thechoicemethod.com.
And is this about a man? Is this about my mommy issues, my daddy issues? Maybe. But at the end of the day, there was nothing my parents could have done differently in their parenting. I was having the human experience, the spiritual growth and journey that was required of me to meet that part of myself that didn't think I was capable, didn't think I was enough. And when I continuously met that part of myself, that was when I felt the confidence. That was when I took my power back. I was so done with the catastrophizing. I was so done waiting for something external to come give me a gut punch. And I'm like, how can I create these scenarios on my own? How can I choose this hell, this emotionally uncomfortable scenario so that I can continuously become, which is why I decided to do endurance events. And now my new thing, psilocybin ceremonies. It's a whole other can of worms. I'm just here on a spiritual journey. And now I'm just like,
Wow, you're all suffering for no reason.
Yeah.
Damn. Let's let it be easy with moments of discomfort.
Mm. Yes, 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 yes. And that's the thing right there is that none of this is real anyway. That's
no, it's all a joke.
But you are, you and the, everyone that's listening, you are a soul in human form, and you are a spiritual, energetic being having a human experience. And pain is quite awe-inspiring, actually, and quite beautiful. The suffering piece is optional. So when you really recognize that all of these things that present, I'm curious, you know, if you resonate with this, Heather, motherhood, dis-ease that manifests, you know, as cancer and other things, entrepreneurship, career, marriage, whatever it is, all of those things that present are an opportunity for you to choose to answer the objective of your soul, for you to realize that your actual purpose is to move through it, right? Mm-hmm. To contract, expand, to heal, to grow, to feel the discomfort, right? And all of the things in our human experience is the mechanism for that true, more enlightened journey, because we are far less matter than we are energy, but the world we live in pushes and makes us perceive it's the direct opposite.
So many thoughts and none at all. But the one thing that's coming up for me is, I mean, the beauty of life. So number one, I really enjoy pain now. Before I was like, get it away from me. I don't want to feel this. But now pain is such a beautiful boundary holder. Like I can either lean in and push the edge. So something as simple and practical as like, I'm in the gym, right? And I'm doing reps and I'm like, this is painful. I don't want to do this anymore. Okay. Well, I can lean in and push two more reps versus, is this pain telling me to stop? Because my body is like, I can't handle this. And that's the game that I get to play with my being, with my life, with myself, with my physical body, because my body wants to keep me safe. It doesn't want me to thrive. It literally just wants to keep me alive. But I need to consciously choose to lean in and go, no, 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 we're going to go to the next level, but we're going to do this with integrity. And I need to listen to the pain. Mm-hmm. The other thing is parenting comes up for me big, because my oldest is 20 and I watch and observe his spiritual journey. And I so badly, as any other parent would, want to take his pain away. I want to take his emotional discomfort away, which I cannot. We all maybe logically know this, that, oh, he's struggling with that. Let me just go in and fix it. Let me be the helicopter parent. Let me go in and be the lawnmower parent, whatever the hell you want to call it. But I don't actually take his pain away. I just give him a Tylenol or an Advil and it just numbs it. But it's always there. The root is always there. And so if I'm always numbing his spiritual journey and I'm not being that guide for him, I'm taking away from his experience. And so that's what comes up for me. Mm. And I think about a lot of, you know, now in my identity, I'm like, I need to take ownership and I accept my responsibility. I accept my role. And I'm always playing this game with, you know, and I know visionary, entrepreneurial humans in general have a very difficult time trusting other people. It's always on me. It's always on me. I'm the responsible one. I have to hold it all. Do you really? Like, whose baggage are you holding? And sometimes I will actually just sit down with myself and go, what am I holding? And whose shit is that? Like, how many backpacks am I holding? And I will physically, I just did this to my team this morning. You know, she's like, oh, you could do this. And I said, great, send me the link. I'm like, I'm not creating the link. Send me the link. Like, Where do you hold these boundaries? Yep. Okay. That's a you task. Where do you want me to put that task? Like, I am not putting these things on my plate, but if you are not consciously, living present in the moment, you don't have the mental and emotional capacity to say, that is not mine to act on. That is not mine to hold. But I can say, what do you need from me to support you in this space? Well, I don't know what I need. Okay. Well, if you don't know what you need, how the fuck am I going to know what you need? So that's the conversation we can have. When you can tell me what you need, then I can support you, or I can help you, guide you, hold you to help you figure that out. But I can't do your work for you. And that, holding that space for humans to get them to accept the journey, that's an interesting one.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And two things come flying through when you say that. The first one is all of this, what you're saying, which I endorse, I practice, I'm with you. It requires women to stop over-functioning, period. Because a person, and on the, I had a podcast interview with Taylor, my daughter, and we talked about this when I, you know, we were just talking about what it's like to, for me to be her mom and things she's gained and things that have been challenging. And
that already came out, correct? Because I feel like I saw clips of it.
Yes, it came out like a couple months ago.
And I was like, this was genius, because she was talking about you were taking care of yourself and what that gave her as a young woman.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So she knows what her needs are, right? But when you recognize you've been overfunctioning, which is 95% of every successful, high accomplished woman, you inherently cause the people around you to underfunction, because there's only so much shit on the table. And if you're eating 85% of the shit, then the other person is forced to only deal with 15% of the shit, because 100% is all there is available, right? So that's the first thing. It really requires an identity shift from over-functioning to just functioning, so that the persons on the other side of that have the space to recognize they're responsible to fulfill their own needs, to even understand they have needs, and to identify those needs, right? And the other piece, which is the whole conversation we're having, is all of it is uncomfortable. All of it requires a complete shift in your relationship with what it feels like in actual sensation. Discomfort is not cognitive. Yeah. The actual feeling, like what you were just describing, of watching our children experience pain, which I have many times, any mother listening has.
It's a huge grieving process, especially
huge, right? It's literally like to stand there and know that you are doing the highest and best for that child who's going to become a young adult, who's going to become an adult, and then have their own center of influence and drip their shit out into the world, right? To stand there and to witness and feel that pain and not run in and solve it is the most gut-wrenching, uncomfortable emotional space. And I want to really anchor that, because even though Heather so beautifully and fluidly articulated it, does not mean it was the absence of it being so fucking hard and so uncomfortable, right? Because it just is. It just is.
I will tell you, like, I have a very, I don't like the word hard. It is very uncomfortable for me to hold that boundary for my children, also for my clients, for my team. But like, I will hold it. I will hold it. I will hold it. And I will say, Heather, what do you need to do to manage your energy? And I've had moments where I'm like, this person is so mad at me because I'm holding. And I'm doing it with love and grace. Like, I'm not being passive aggressive. And when it breaks, like when they're on the other side of it, they'll say, thank you. And I will, sometimes I've had moments where I'm like, I've cried And I said, you have no idea what that was like for me. Like, it's making me emotional right now, where I'm like, you have no idea what that was like for me to like hold that boundary for you. And I watch them where they're like, they look like, oh shit, maybe my energy is affecting other people. And it's not easy to do that, but there's so much freedom in that. And that's how you gain respect, not just from other people, but from yourself. And you level up. Like, I know for certain that, you know, my son, especially because he's like the one that triggers me the most, the oldest one, he's just constantly pushing. He's like, you are my rock, you are my person, you are my whatever. And I'm like, and sometimes I just need you to like take ownership for your own fucking spiritual lessons sometimes, so I don't need to like hold the boundary so much. And he's like, okay, got it. I said, because there's going to be times or days where I just don't have the energetic capacity to hold. And I'm like, you may think I'm strong, but the only reason why I'm strong is because I take care of myself. And there will be seasons where I'm like, I don't have the capacity to hold this. I don't have the capacity to hold a boundary. I don't have the capacity to care. And that's okay. That's okay. And that's being human. But yeah.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. I feel so grateful that the conversation went here, because this piece about the boundaries, right? That, number one, boundaries are love, right? So when you're holding that boundary, you are actively loving. And it doesn't mean that it's not rip you apart in two. I felt that emotion with you because I've had that experience also. And in my experience, helping myself sit with, it's safe for people to be upset with me.
Yeah.
It's safe for me to be misunderstood.
Yeah.
And those are big things for leaders, because we have to get, again, comfortable in the discomfort of it, but really work with like, it's okay if someone's upset. It's okay if they currently do not understand or cannot perceive why this stance is what it is, or this boundary is what it is. That is a depth of power. That is a level of groundedness. That is some mastery level shit that every single leader must. Like, if you're not willing to get to this level of mastery, you should leave leadership. Truly. Yeah. Truly. Yeah. Because you're dripping the continuous limited paradigm in the world, and we don't need more of that. Mm-hmm. Right. And that requires every part of this conversation in being emotionally uncomfortable, being sovereign, having agency. Right. And recognizing that you are always operating from your wholeness, which becomes like the springboard for this type of power. It's amazing.
My children were the first ones to not only return me home to myself, but to show me my power. And then deciding to build a business because I wanted to make an impact in the world, not because I wanted to start a business, and then lead a team, trust a team. I was like, damn, this is parenting all over again. Yes. It's the same thing. And then, you know, my health and all the things. And, you know, this, when people come into my world, not everyone I work with is a business owner. You know, it's usually like a home thing or a work thing, but there is this like stepping up and into a next level because something is their identity that they're living within. The coping strategies are no longer in alignment with how they want to feel and the life that they want to live, because they want more time. They want to be time rich. And they'll say, I want this, I want that. Oh, I want to start a course. I want to do this. And I was like, are you sure about that? Like, I feel like that guy, that meme, I'm like, you sure about that? And I'm like, because do you know what that's going to require you? It's not just about fixating about tech over here or creating a beautiful course. You need to be seen. You need to put yourself out there, and you get to keep everything that you defend. If you are defending why you cannot make more money, if you are defending why the economy is going to be the thing that takes you down, even though you have
Wi-Fi fucking access, and there's billions of people on this planet, and you have literally met like less than 1% of them. It's, you always, always keep yourself small. So if you can just say, how am I limiting myself? How can I do this? If I deeply trusted myself, what action would I take? I know I fucked up as a mom, as a human. There's things that I have said that are, that I wish I could take back, but I will always be one to repair. I will always be one to sit in conversation and say, give me feedback. How can I do that better next time? And, but freedom is not about how much money's in your bank account or how hard you work or where you're trying to prove or how big of a stage you get on. Freedom is when you wake up in the morning and you have your cup of coffee and you can hear the birds chirping and you're like, I am proud of myself. I am proud of how I show up as a human being. And I don't now think about, I think it's, I'm headed into my 40s, Tracy. Ha,
queen, I am around the corner from 50. It's amazing. The 40s are,
I can feel the brain shift where I'm like, oh, I just don't give a, give a shit what people think. Like, I care, but I don't care. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? Believe people when they show you what they're capable of. I don't believe anyone's words anymore. Like, flat out. I'm just like, okay, prove it. Prove it. You say you're going to get that thing done by this deadline. Prove it. Like, everyone's like, Heather wants us to prove. I said, I don't want you to prove yourself to me. I want you to be a person of integrity. Talk less, align more. Because the way you enter a room, the way you energetically lead yourself and your life and how you treat people, they will talk about you. You don't need to scream from the rooftops. People talk about your energy when you are not in the room. And so be kind, be loving, be aligned. You do be generous. It's not really that fucking hard. It's just emotionally uncomfortable. So that's it.
I love it. And I feel so deeply grateful for how aligned we are, because yes, and everything you just said, which we will let be the close because I could talk to you for hours and hours. This is the new world. Yeah. We are either operating from the paradigms of our foremothers and forefathers who we love and did what they could with the knowledge base and the unhealedness that they had, or we start to practice these new paradigms and new ways of being. And it's literally the contribution we are going to make in this lifetime before we leave our physical bodies. So thank you for being the light and doing light worker work, because that is what you are doing to make sure you know that and you receive that with every conversation, with every moment of holding, with every moment of empathy, with every moment of the tough love that a woman deserves to be triggered by. Because that is part of our job as light workers, is to give beautiful souls the opportunity to go, ooh, do I want to look at that now? So I thank you, because you are making the world what it needs to be.
Thank you, Tracy. I will receive that.
Thank you. So beautiful. So before I let you go for now, can you, I wanted to hear a little bit about your new membership, because I know that's exciting. And how can our listeners hang with you?
So you can check out the podcast, Emotionally Uncomfortable. It's not hard. It's Emotionally Uncomfortable. I talk a lot about leadership, relationships, living in alignment with how you want to feel. And my energetic time management framework, I've been teaching for 10 plus years. And I have typically been doing things in high ticket. And people are like, how do I just do this work? How can I get access to your framework and live calls and all the things? So now we have an energetic time management membership. So they can just go to my name, Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/membership. Check it out. And it's month to month. I always tell people, I'm like, if it works, if it's aligned, you'll stay. If not, you'll go, and you just declutter what's no longer working. So try it out.
It's $297 a month. Check it out for a month, get the framework, implement, stay a little bit or not, but you have one precious life. And I always say time is our greatest asset. We typically value money over time, and then we're so depleted and angry and resentful. So if you see money as, you know, you value it as much, or sorry, if you see time the way you value money, I like to use the $1 million concept. So if every 60 seconds of your life was valued at $1 million, how would you invest it? So you can be fulfilled, happy, aligned, successful. And yeah, so check out the membership, check out the podcast, and just keep remembering, doesn't matter everything that's on your plate. If you are like, I feel dead inside, I'm overwhelmed, I'm angry, I'm frustrated. You know, that's something that you've been carrying. That's a story, and you can unlearn and realign.
Yes.
The Amen. World needs you alive.
That's right. That's right. And not surviving, but actually in your aliveness.
100%.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful listener. We will put all the things in the show notes. And until next time, remember, there's always more love. Bye. Thank you for your energy and attention today. I honor how valuable it is. Please take a quick moment to leave a review and share what resonated the most. If it feels aligned, share the show with another trailblazer just like you. With every review and every share, you are contributing to the elevation of the collective consciousness of our world. And for that, I thank you.